Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Rhino Ag. And today I welcome former modified driver turned sprint car driver Clayton Christensen, along with Rich from Sign Pro in Owatonna, and our old friend Speed from Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit, along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Dryer and grain handling equipment owners, International Steel Erectors, and NASCO Equipment are now scheduling preventative maintenance jobs to prepare you for a smoother fall harvest. Our experienced crews will do a pre-season checkup on your grain legs, conveyors, air systems, augers, and other related equipment. Our dryer service program consists of checking augers, bearings, chains, belts, gas lines, gear oil, and cleaning the burner to ensure easy startups when harvest time is upon us. Call us at International Steel Erectors or NASCO Equipment today at 507-451-3448.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Napa know-how.
This October, it's no trick. A 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil is just $26.99. Plus, get a treat, a $10 Visa gift card. Because the only thing spookier than ghouls and ghosts is engine sludge. That's Mobil 1 5-quart jugs for $26.99 plus $10 back. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/19.
Returning home on a November evening, I hit a deer on 35W. Hi, this is Shelly. My first thought was, is everyone okay? My second thought was, oh no, my van. I love my van and rely on it every day. My first call was to Bob at Midwest Collision. He took care of everything from getting my vehicle towed to his shop, providing me with a loaner vehicle, and returning my van back to me in a timely fashion when it was repaired, all with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Accident happen. If you have had an accident, call Midwest Collision at 332-2434.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on the Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on the Dirt Show, and I am joined by sprint car driver Clayton Christensen. And Clayton, I met you in person for the first time February 3rd, 2019 at the Kossuth County Museum Driver Interview Session in Algona, Iowa. These are really cool events because it lets the fans learn more about the drivers they're watching at their favorite tracks, and it really makes you feel like you have a connection with that driver when you know some more about him.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool experience there I had. Chad Meyer asked me to do that thing at the museum, and originally there was supposed to be another person there, and he had talked about a couple other people at certain other times, and ended up day of event, it just ended up being me, and luckily me and Chad have had a good rapport over the years, and I like talking to Chad, so it was pretty much just like before or after the races when we talk normally. He knew a lot of my story already, and that was just an easy thing to do.
For being up there all by yourself, I thought you did an excellent job.
Well, thank you. That didn't come naturally at first when I first started this racing deal. Interviews were hard, but after you do it a few years, I guess you have some success, so you can actually talk to these guys after the races, to fans, and you start learning how to talk, and I've gotten definitely better at it over the years.
At a very early age, you became hooked on wings. What do you remember most about those early years as a young sprint car fan?
Probably my first memories are Jackson. I was told, you know, obviously don't remember this, but I was told I was in the stands. I think I was about 3 months old when I first attended my first race up at Jackson. My first real memory is back in the day, the Nationals. At Jackson, I've kind of went up and down on popularity or the in thing. And back in the day, though, you know, Sammy would be there, Wolfgang, and all kinds of great drivers. And first memories are probably Sammy. And I think it was an old Milwaukee car at the time. And I have a T-shirt from that time. So that's, gosh, that's got to be middle to late 80s, probably somewhere in that range. And that's really my first memory. Then after that, I think in 1990, my dad started taking me on a kind of a boys trip. It's just me and him. And we started going to the Knoxville Nationals. And that started a kind of tradition that me and him went to that for the next 11, 12 years, somewhere into there, until I kind of got into college and was doing some sports things. And we had a miss a couple in there. But that was my racing experience. You know, I liked everything. I liked motorcycles. I like, you know, I followed drag racing. I followed all kinds of things. But the stuff that I went and saw was sprint cars. And I know Jackson ran other classes, but I didn't know it. You know, I was focused in on those fast cars with wings on them.
You were a Sammy Swindell fan back in the days when you were either a Sammy fan or you weren't, and there really was no in between.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of crazy how things have probably changed a little bit. You know, I think he's looked back, it's not quite so polar opposite. You know, just like you said, it was either you liked him or you loved him or you hated him, you know. And I don't remember that at Jackson much, but like I know when we started going to Knoxville and, you know, the TMC car, and, you know, he was definitely rolling with his stuff and Kinzer fans. I mean, I think that was a cool thing back then. He'd get introduced or whatever and the booze would come. You know, there's cheers, but there's booze. And I think some of that's gone to the wayside. You don't quite have that fan back and forth. But I never felt that it was malicious or like this really negative thing. It was almost like Earnhardt and Gordon, you know, in the NASCAR deal. And I think sometimes the sport really thrives on stuff like that.
Yeah, the cowboy in the white hat versus the cowboy in the black hat. You got to have that back and forth because it makes it exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I don't know. I'm guessing it was the car that drew me to Sammy. You know, it definitely, his personality isn't, I would say, you know, the most exciting in the world of sports or motorsports, you know, and he can be kind of not the greatest interview. I think he's also got better at that, understood where he stood and has gotten better at that over the years. But there's probably some better guys to emulate and whatever, but I'm definitely really nothing like Sammy, but it's what I was drew to. And I know in that TMC car, the first time I saw that thing, it was over. You know, that's the car, you know. That was just such an amazing car that I was hooked after that for sure.
Your dad actually pitched you the idea of getting in a race car during a college visit to see you in Ames.
Yeah, so I was a stick and ball guy too, and we were always on the fan side of the race car stuff, and you know, nobody in my family raced, nothing like that, and I loved watching, but never ever thought I would ever do it, you know, and drove four-wheelers, go-karts, motorcycles, all that stuff, but never racing thing. That was, I mean, the first thing from a possibility, and I just did a lot of baseball, football, basketball, all that stuff, and actually was in college, South Dakota State, to play football on a scholarship, and was also going to be doing baseball. Hurt my back, broke a vertebrae, actually before I even got to college there in the end of high school, and transfer schools, kind of fell out, you know, kind of lost really that time of my life. You know, I was always motivated by doing well in sports and striving to do well there, and all of a sudden I didn't have that. I was kind of lost, and I think my dad could kind of see that too. And you know, I don't really know how he thought of it or where it came from. I never really asked him that, but he was there in Ames and sitting down at this restaurant, and he says, well, what do you think of this? And like, I don't know. He laid out kind of this nice little plan. He's obviously, he's a big research guy, and he'd done a lot of research, and I'm like, well, okay. And he ended up, really, I was still going to school and didn't come back a lot, and he put a lot of the car together with, you know, help from another local guy that had been around racing, and actually his son was racing too, and they helped us in the early time quite a bit, but kind of came out of left field, and all of a sudden, I don't know, it was about 18 years later, 19 years later now, and, you know, we've had a fun time with it.
Your very first win came at the Fairmont Raceway. Walk us through that night and how it progressed.
So it was our second year doing the B mod at the time. Those things were pretty new. They didn't have the sport mod IMCA sanctioned yet. So first year, definitely a learning experience. We got better. I got better. You know, when you've never been in something like that, you don't know how to enter. You don't know what you're supposed to feel. You don't know what you're supposed to hear. Dirt hitting in the face. You've never experienced that before. So there's just a lot of new things. And it was fairly early in that second year, and we were getting better, definitely doing our research, whatever we could do to learn. And I remember winning heat race or doing decent in the heat race, and I think we started on the pole. Well, something happened in the heat race, whether I can't even quite remember. I think, you know, just back in the day, we used to have to run fiberglass roofs, and we probably didn't have it secured great, you know, and it flew off. And we didn't have, at that time, we weren't prepared enough to put stuff back together. And we asked if we could run with it out. Is there an issue why we can't run with this roof? We can't get it back on. And we said, no, it's okay. So I believe we started on the outside front row and ended up, I think, leading every lap of that darn thing. And I actually just watched some video of that. I remember that my voice was shaking, getting interviewed, and, you know, I couldn't hardly talk. And that was one of those things I don't even think I expected that to happen that early in our learning experience and everything. So it was just one of those amazing little experiences. And we ended up going and winning the next night in Jackson, which was another oh my God moment. So we've been blessed over the years. It was a cool way to start our winning ways.
In a modified, you never sat down and laid out a schedule or we're going to run for this track championship, and you never raced more than 30 shows in a single season.
No, I think before we even did the thing, it was kind of like Dad, and I was in the same thought process with him, that family and work always came first. And, you know, with us having cattle feedlot, one of us, too, has got to be around the next morning or every morning you're waking up, Saturday, Sunday, weekend, holidays. You always got to be work, and we couldn't be gone that much. I couldn't have that much time to work on the car. You know, every time you race, you probably at least got a night to work on the car to get it ready, just maintenance, and that's just without wrecking anything. So it's never been a deal where we were going to go out. I think I knew it pretty early on that we're never to go out and race 40, 50, 60 times or 80, 100 like some of these guys do. And I battled with it maybe early on because I knew those guys that were racing 50 times were ahead of us on experience and just learning. I mean, these setups, you know, these modifieds, especially from the time I started to kind of got out of it a year or two ago, it changes and you got to be up on it. And I think early on we knew when we got in with Kelly and the Skyrocket cars that whoever we go with here, we got to rely on them for input and what's going on, you know. And I think that's some of the reason I stayed with those guys so long, that they just helped me, you know, they gave me what they were running or they helped me out, like, you know, and kind of build up the rapport there. And you just kind of know where you got to be based on them. And obviously Kelly races so many times that he's tried, I think, everything to the moon and back about 3 times. And so that's kind of how we handled that. We just knew we had to rely on some other people.
What do you remember about your very first trip to the historic Knoxville Raceway? You actually raced your B mod against the A mods.
Yeah, definitely nervous. I think just driving down there, nerves, and, you know, you drive across the track and you're like, holy cow, you know, I think I was shaking, you know. And I always drive to the races. My dad always drives back, and I was just going across the track and just kind of shaking inside. And, you know, obviously it meant so much to me, that place, and just to get to go there. You know, this is obviously before they had the sport mod deal, and we're running that with the mods for that Harris Clash thing. And we're just like, well, you know, we're not illegal, you know, with these mods. We're out horsepowered by probably 250 or whatever the heck it was at the time. And I remember, you know, there was quite a few people looking at us like what the heck we were doing, you know. With, you know, they could, we had the hood off of our motor, we got this little 2-barrel, we had talked about throwing a 4-barrel on it or something, but we're like, hey, we're not going to be competitive anyways, let's just run what we had and we're used to and not gonna have any issues. So we had a little 355 9-to-1 compression motor and 2-barrel on it, and we just went out and had fun. And that's what I remember, having fun. Don't really remember the heat race. I remember being in the B and just not finishing last, you know, being ahead of a guy and trying to, well, we might have finished last, but we were right with the last couple guys and guy that raced mods around our place. And, you know, he just give up 4 or 5 car lengths down the straightaway and gain it all back in the quarters because our car was handling pretty good. But just an experience, you know, that was just something that, you know, hey, we're in this race car. Let's get to the place that's the Holy Grail and let's go have an experience.
In 2007, you won the Harris Clash at the Knoxville Raceway in your A-Mod. When you think about how many guys who have raced over the years that would like to be able to say that they won that race, and you can say to yourself, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, dream come true. You know, really, sometimes I look back and can't believe it's actually, we actually did it. You know, let's see, we were probably 4th, 5th year in a mod. And, you know, we've won a few races, but nothing big, you know, just local things. And obviously hadn't shown, I think that might have been our 3rd year there in a modified, somewhere around there. And obviously we hadn't made the show yet there. And we're still learning a lot. I think I'm still learning as a driver. I do remember the year before we went winless, and then we changed some setup things. Kelly kind of changed what he was doing and some suspension stuff. I remember we'd got a win at Algona a little bit earlier in the year, and it just kind of fit my style. Like, the setup just fit my style a little better. It wasn't so throw it in there and a little more drive straight and be under control and just kind of fit me a little better, and I felt a little more comfortable with it. And then going there, we won our heat race and drew outside pole for that feature, and I was nervous as hell, you know, obviously, and just going out there, hey, finishing the top five would be amazing. This would be the best we're ever going to do, best starting spot I'm ever going to have at this thing, and let's just finish top five. Our year would be made, career would be made finishing top five here. And shout out to the lead, you know, it was kind of up top on the cushion and kind of treacherous, like Knoxville can kind of get technical but treacherous up there. And I felt like I threw that race away about three or four times. Our motor program had probably come along pretty good at that point. We were hooked up with just a good motor and the setup was good. And back in that day, it was like with the gears we were running and everything, if you got in trouble, you just stood on the gas and it would kind of pull you around. And I did that three or four times thinking I was going in the wall and say, well, you blew it, Clayton. And every time it came out, it'd get pointed in the right direction, then vroom, down the straightaway we'd go and, you know, kept leading. Early on, we had some guys underneath me, and I could hear them there and see them a couple times. Then through the middle of the race, I didn't hear anybody. I'm like, where are these? They got to be here, you know? There's no way we're out in front like this. And we were for a while, and then towards the end, motor started getting hot, just kind of laying over a little bit. It wasn't awful, but just enough that I couldn't quite do what I needed to up on that cushion anymore, and I was getting in trouble. And I'm sure there were some nerves. When you were getting down, all of a sudden, you're like, oh my God, this is getting late in the race. And I was waiting for somebody to be there, and finally there was. And Todd Shute showed his kind of nose. I heard him like, oh man, you're going to throw this thing away. And we were even coming to the white flag, and I hit one and two pretty good. I'm like, okay, you got this, Clayton, come on. And going down the backstretch, I'm like, hey, you're going to either get through turn three and four, the best you ever had, you know, as fast as you had, or you're going to hit the wall. And luckily I turned, it didn't hit the wall, and we won by a few car lengths. You look back at that, and if people want to call that my one-hit wonder, that's fine. I'll take a one-hit wonder being a whatever, but that's something that just always look back at. Me and Dad will still look back at that, and I'll look back at it in 30 years and still smile. So, again, there's not a race I could have won or still could win that would ever top that, or I would ever want more than that. So not too many people have that on their record or, you know, hey, that's the race I want to win. And it's just cool to say. So it was an awesome experience.
You also won the Jackson Nationals in your modified. What do you remember about that night?
I just remember by that point, that was the same year, 07, and it was later, and the Nationals were later. I think it was more almost in the fall that those years, and by this point, I had definitely winning something like that. You know, the Harris Clash gives you a little confidence, and it was like, hey, you can run with these guys, and again, our motor was on point that year, and only thing I really remember having about three or four restarts at the end going, just hey, hang on here. And every time the green flag would go and I would hit the gas, we were just hooked up. And that's what I remember. And I knew the guy that was kind of behind me and good friends of ours. And I remember after we won, he's like, man, I didn't have anything for you. You just took off after every restart. And just a cool guys that probably you looked up to, like, it wasn't Jay Notaboom, but guys like that. It was Reef Coffee and guys you looked up to for a couple of years racing these things, like, oh, that guy's got it. And all of a sudden you're like competing with them and beating them at times. So that's kind of where I remember that thing, just beating a guy that we'd raced around for a long time. And that was another really cool trophy that I got sitting in the office. And to say you're a Jackson National champion is a pretty cool thing.
Now, wouldn't that be incredible to do that in a sprint car one day?
It'd be really cool. We did decent this year at that 305 deal during the Jackson Nationals, and that'd be a really cool trophy to have. I think we can do it in a 305. I don't have any illusions of doing it in a 360 or 410. You know, that the competition there and the years that they have experience on us is by far more than I think I'm going to be able to spend in a car and time and stuff. But I think that 305 thing, I was disappointed that I think we ended up 10th or 8th to 10th or something, and we started 4th or 5th or somewhere up there. And I think we got a program good enough to be there, and I'm learning this enough that I think we can be in the mix. And you never know. If you're in the mix, you never know what can happen. I think that I've learned that through the years that, you know, you just got to do the stuff you know you need to do, and after that, you never know what will happen. And so I got to win a race first in that 305 before I can even think about Jackson Nationals. But that's one thing I've been a little disappointed in for the first 2 years with this 305 program, that we haven't been able to get a win. We've been decently close a couple times, thought I had one probably two or three times, and kind of things didn't work out our way. So we've had some mechanical issues, some motor things. The motor's awesome. I love my motor builder. We've just had some freak things happen that has cost us not just a race or two, but it's cost us big portions of the last two seasons, you know, like a month, month and a half, just trying to figure out what the heck is going on. That hurts when you're still trying to learn, and you probably don't get, obviously, like 30 races, and all of a sudden a month is gone in your season. That really hurts, and we're just looking to hopefully clean up some of that stuff next year. And sometimes that's not even anything you're doing. It's just the unluckiness of what racing can be at times.
When you first completed your sprint car and stood back and looked at the 1cc, the flames on the side, the steer head on the wing, were you as blown away with how it turned out as I am?
When I got it together the first time, I just had a plain old number one on it, and we just took it to the track to go. But this year, I did a little bit different thing last year, but when we got it this year, when we did what we did, and it kind of got back to some of my modified kind of feels, and, you know, like, I think you can look at it and say, oh, that's Clayton, that's 1cc, you know, and I've always tried to keep that feel. You know, I've changed it up, and I like playing with things, but I've always taken the graphics pretty serious, or I personally really like being involved with that, and I got a really good relationship with Sivisma Graphics and Brent Licata there at Sivisma's, and, you know, we will text back and forth, you know, in January, you know, hey, what about this? And so when that thing kind of came together, and usually I've found the ones that come together easy and just there's not much you're messing with, those are the best ones. And that's the way this year's car came out. And it was just like, that is perfect. That, you know, out of all the cars I've had, it's definitely in my top two or three. And I think we're going to keep the same look next year, maybe just tinker with a little couple things. But it looks awesome. You can see it. I think that's the thing. You can read everything. It's not cluttered. It's simple, but stands out like crazy with the orange and black combination's always been great. A little bit of white here and there. And then that kind of mill or silver color, just it looks great. I love it. Every time I look at it, I still look at it sitting in the shop right now, and I'll go, you know, it's kind of back in the corner, and I'll go work, and I'm like, God, that's a darn good looking car.
When you took your first few laps in the car, you said the G-forces were incredible. Talk us through when they pushed you off and you flipped that switch for the first time.
Luckily, I've been in a midget, which that was the shocking thing, is when I first started that darn thing, and, you know, things are shaking and rattling, and things sound so weird, you know, just compared to what I had done. And the sprint car, definitely, you know, it's just a different experience. It's a completely different experience. And definitely, by the time I got the sprint car last year, there was definitely a smile on my face when it took off and you're going. And I'll say, on the 305s, I know it's different with the 360s and 410s, but the 305, it doesn't just put you in your seat when you take off, but it keeps building speed down the straightaway. And it's by the time you get to turn one, wow, we're cruising, you know, at least compared to what these modifieds that I was used to. And that was, like you said, the G-forces in the corner were the thing that took me probably the longest to get used to. And there's still times I can feel it if it's really fast. You just had a race, the Clay County Fair, you know, and it was hammered down the whole time. You know, you didn't lift the whole time. And definitely more comfortable. And obviously I was beginning of the year, even the year before. But it's still at times like, man, we're moving here. And if you're not used to it, your neck gets a little tired and can't even keep your head up off the side of the seat. And try to do a little more workouts throughout this last year, trying to just get a little bit better and more shape for that. Not that I ever felt like I was way out of shape. It's physically driving it. I think it's actually easier to drive than modified, but there's G-forces and neck strain I wasn't quite used to or ready for. So we try to do a little bit better with that.
Your first year in a sprint car, you divided the time between both the modified and the wing sprint.
Yeah. Obviously, it was hard to get out of the modified, something you've done for so many years. I also didn't want to give up racing in Spencer, Clay County Fairground, which is 10 minutes away from me, and they raced every Sunday with that modified, and I couldn't do that with the sprint car. So I hated giving up the chance to race in front of the home crowd and some of the sponsors and just all the friends, you know, all that goes along with that I hated giving that up, and something that I knew we could still go out and compete with. But I think in the back of my mind, I knew I couldn't keep going with both cars. You know, like we said, talked about earlier, we never raced a lot to begin with, and then all of a sudden have two cars and tried to keep both of them up maintenance and keep them going. And I think halfway through the year, I kind of knew, oh, we can't do this next year. I got to get rid of the modified. And I probably cost myself a win or two in the modified and some money with busted parts, or we messed up our rear end because things weren't getting maintenance. The sprint car was looked after, but I'd kind of like, oh, the modified's fine. You know, like, we just go race the next week. And there's things that wouldn't have happened the year before with that mod, that, you know, that I just overlooked or just said they were fine. And that's not the way to, you know, that's not the way to do it. So I was thinking about getting rid of the modified halfway through the year last year. Me and my dad talked probably about this time last year, probably a little bit earlier in this even, and we always talk about certain things, and he's like, well, I think we have to get rid of it. And when he said, you know, when he was on board, or, you know, he kind of had come to the same conclusion I had, we knew what we had to do. So it was a tough deal to do. It was sometime, you know, in October or something, I think a guy came to pick it up. that was a tough deal to do. When it all got real, when I was helping him kind of load it up on the trailer, and I had to fight back some tears in my eyes, you know, and to get rid of that thing. I know I can always go back and get one if I wanted to, but it was just, you know, it was kind of felt like the kind of closing of a chapter, you know, in your life, the book of life. And so it was an emotional thing, but it also, we had to do it. And I know I was a lot better prepared with this sprint car, and you're just focused, you know. You drive these cars different. I could always get back in that mod. I could get back in the mod right now, and I think I could be fine. You know, things are just boom, back. It's like riding a bike, you'd be back to normal. But I wouldn't race that sprint car for 2 weeks, and then I tried to jump back into that, still trying to learn it, and I'd be letting off the gas and doing these things, just stuff that is not what you wanted to do in the sprint car, and it was just hard to learn it. So when I got rid of that, just focused, hey, you got to do this, and you got to race it every weekend, that's when I started. I think we saw, maybe the results don't show up, but my driving get better in that sprint car and be more comfortable every week out.
Racing at the Chili Bowl, how did that happen? And that had to be an incredible overall experience just to be there.
It's just an awesome event, you know. Like, I hadn't been there before. You know, we raced that two years ago or whatever. You know, I hadn't been there. I'd followed it. Obviously, being a sprint car fan, if you don't know the Chili Bowl, you're not really a fan, even though they're different deals. There's, you know, the Chili Bowl. And so I've obviously, especially being a Sammy fan and the success him and his family has had there, I've definitely followed it. I couldn't wait to get results from it before the internet age. And then when the internet kind of came around and you could listen to it, like on the radio, it was kind of a stream, a radio from Racing Boys or whatever, before they had the video stuff, I was buying those radio broadcasts or whatever and listening to them. So it's always been something I wanted to get to. It was kind of, being in school, it was tough to get down there to see anything, and through college. And then I got married and had kids, and I only got to do so many things, and I wasn't going to take time away to go watch a race when, you know, it was going to take something away from me. So just something I never got down to, although it was always on my bucket list. And Jody Rosenboom, we've known the Rosenboom family pretty much since we started racing, and always liked Jody and Rosie, his dad, and always kept in touch. I started talking to Jody just about hot lap and a sprint. This was before we had the sprint car, obviously, and it was just hot lap. It's 360 sometimes, just to say I'd done it. I mean, that was the way I was looking at life, was just, hey, I just want to say I've done this, you know, driven one of these things once. And we kind of talked about that, and then, you know, I knew he'd been down in the Chili Bowl for, I don't know how many years, 10, 12 years, and the last few he had gotten an extra car so he could rent out. And I was like, well, how, you know, just how does that go about? And, you know, just the early inklings of, you know, what's all about. And at some point, I was just thinking about it. I'm like, hey, you know, just let me know if you don't have somebody to drive that sometime. You know, I don't know. I saw him post something on Facebook, like, still looking for, you know, this, somebody to drive the car. And then I started talking to my girlfriend, Audrey, and she kind of pushed me to do it, you know. And I started looking into it a little more, and me and Jody were starting to get numbers together. And then I talked to my dad, and he didn't like the idea. And I don't exactly know why, but luckily my girlfriend kind of pushed me. And he's like, take it, do it. You know, like, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know. Next year is not promised, you know, that you could do this. So just do it. And I'm so glad she did. You know, my dad fell in love with it, obviously, after we started getting into the thing, doing it. And I actually had the midget here at my shop for just a little bit. My mom got in it. And after that, it was just, everybody was excited. And obviously, just an amazing, I've been lucky enough to do some amazing things over the years. And that's in the top couple, you know. So just an amazing event. Those midgets are probably the craziest thing. And obviously haven't been in a lot of things, but I don't know if there's going to be a crazier thing than one of those, you know, 400 horse and, I don't know what to weigh, probably 800 pounds or something, you know, just light as hell. I mean, the power to weight ratio is just crazy on those things. And obviously I haven't been in a sprint car at this point either. So, I mean, just sitting in it's just weird and uncomfortable and, you know, pushing down on the throttle rather than what I've been doing in my modified, you know, everything was new and different. And I was so overwhelmed from a talent, at least comfortability standpoint, that I just wanted to go there and not mess up or run into anyone. And we actually were able to go to DeCoin couple weeks before, and that's where I really felt out of place. And actually, when I got to the Chili Bowl, I was actually a little more comfortable. We got to practice. The Chili Bowl track was actually a little easier than DeCoin. It was just a little bit bigger, a little more sweeping corners, so you weren't so tight. And, you know, I definitely was still uncomfortable, but we were able to start towards the front of our heat race and ended up finishing fourth or fifth. And it was just like, whoa, you know, we didn't finish last, you know, and I felt like I was actually driving around people. And I think it was 8 laps and I got out of that and I was the most exhausted I've ever been, because I don't think I took a breath. I don't think I, you know, released the wheel. I got out of there, my hands were shaking and I couldn't talk because I was so, I mean, the adrenaline that was rushing there, I don't know if I've ever quite experienced that. Maybe my first time ever in a car, but I still don't know if I'd ever felt anything like that. So awesome experience again. And me and the girlfriend went down last year just to watch, and that was a little more relaxing. I didn't mind that. And I wouldn't mind being back in one of those cars at some point, but, you know, I've done it. And that's an awesome thing to say that I've been able to go and run that thing.
I thought we might see you September 20th and 21st at the Open Wheel Nationals at the Jackson Motorplex, but obviously you were busy farming.
Yeah, that was definitely on our want to go to or wanted to do, and we're planning on doing it. It's just by this point of the year, you just know those plans don't always work. So we were able to get to the Clay County Fairground a week ago or so, and that was cool to get there. But yeah, we were working chopping silage for a cattle here, and I was bummed not to get there because it was, you know, obviously awesome weather and looked like a pretty good turnout for that, and obviously wanted to do well, you know, cap off the season with a good run there. And I think we're obviously getting better at this thing, and just to see how we were against some of those guys would have been cool. But that's part of what I've been doing for the last 18 years is, you know, that farming deal. When that comes time to do that, we do that. So it was a bummer. I would have loved to have been out there, and I know there was some people asking why I wasn't there, you know, and it is what it is. So, you know, there's sometimes we can get to do some of these specials if the weather works out, whether we're doing really good with the harvest, or, you know, maybe it rains, but it doesn't rain out the racetrack. That's happened a few times. So, but that's kind of what happened there.
Are you done for the season and regrouping for next year, or will you run somewhere over the winter?
We're probably done. I haven't really looked at it. I don't like to travel a long ways, and, you know, shoot, we're going to be harvesting through late October, just depending on how weather goes, and I don't need to travel anywhere south in the winter or anything. And maybe we'll look in the earlier spring, you know, with the modified. We always like to go to Beatrice, Nebraska, which was, you know, that first, the second, third week of March, and that was always a really cool, earlier than anything around here starts racing. And again, I don't know as many of the things in these 305s and what happened around then and how far we had to travel, but I'll probably look at that a little. You know, I'm saying we're probably done here and for this year, and we'll regroup for next year. And luckily, we, you know, we didn't wreck a lot of stuff again this year. You know, I think I've only been in one kind of wreck that we had to replace some stuff, which is fairly lucky for these things. And probably freshen the motor and, you know, probably reassess some things. There are some goals I want to do. I would like to get into 360, but I don't really want to have that motor cost. It's just crazy. And goal of mine is to still race a 410 a couple of times and actually get to the Knoxville Nationals. And that's my couple-year plan. I would like to do that. And obviously, no, we're not going to be, you know where I am, and I'm not looking to make any features or anything there, but just say, again, like the Chili Bowl, say I've done it. So that's a couple-year goal is where I want to be or have done, and probably always stay with the 305 class and just know that's where we can be competitive, but also want to say I've done a couple other little things and experienced that 410 power, and just that is really a goal of mine is to say I've ran the Knoxville Nationals, and I don't know what that's going to look like or how that's going to come about, but that is long-term goal, or at least probably short-term goal, because I honestly don't want to be doing this for another 5-10 years. So that's kind of what we're looking at now and what the best plan to get there is, you know.
Clayton, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show, and I will definitely be watching for that 1cc next spring out of the Jackson Motorplex and tracks around the area, and thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks. It's always great to talk to people about racing. Again, we've had an awesome ride, been blessed to do this. You know, been blessed to have people want to listen to me talk about it. So thank you again.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Only Powerlift has been building hydraulic doors continuously since 1992, longer than anyone else in the industry. Only Powerlift provides local manufacturing, sales, and service throughout North America, giving you confidence in knowing we will always be there when and where you need us. Only Powerlift installs each and every door, making your project hassle-free from start to finish. Only Powerlift has the best warranty in the industry, so what hydraulic door should you buy? Only Powerlift. Contact us today at 507-374-9306.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your Total Source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna Total Source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
How bad do you want to win? Hi, this is Tyler Walker from Walker Performance Filtration. When I buckle my belts and put my helmet on, I have one goal in mind: winning. Walker Performance Filtration Systems allow more air and less contaminants, keeping your motors clean and creating more usable power. Drivers like Sammy Swindell, Brian Clausen, and Aaron Rutzel can't afford to make the wrong choice. That's why they choose us. Walker Performance Filtration has systems for 410, 360, and 305 sprint cars, midgets, stock cars, modifieds, outlaw cars, go-karts, and even custom filters. Visit www.walkerperformancefiltration.com or give us a call at 818-252-7788.
Welcome back to our sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Rich from Sign Pro and Auto Trim Design here in Owatonna. And Rich, it's starting to feel like hunting season, and I know you have all kinds of innovative ideas. Sign Pro can do miracles when it comes to camouflage on a boat, a trailer, repairing damaged boat seats. That's something that you can take care of right here.
Sure is. The hunting season's a busy time of the year for everybody, but we do have many different varieties of camo patterns that we can print. Even a custom one, if you have something exactly special that you are the only one who wants on your vehicle, we can do that. Everything else for all kinds of accessories for your hunting trip.
Retrofitting your hunting truck or jeeps with brush guards, skid plates, running boards, mud flaps, just about anything to take your vehicle off-road, you guys can install that, and you guys can give them options on different products.
That's right. There's all kinds of accessories you can put, especially on a Jeep. You buy a Jeep, it's basically a platform to add stuff to. I've had one and it added a whole bunch to it, and it comes out just the way you want it.
Rich, one of the reasons the stuff coming out of Sign Pro and Owatonna looks so good is that you really love what you do. A while back, I saw you on a Saturday driving a big old Lincoln, smoking a big old stogie, and you really love old cars, and you have a passion for what you do, and a lot of pride goes in everything that goes out the door.
I do feel a little passionate about most of the things I get involved in, and old Lincolns is one of them.
My daughter's boyfriend bought a new style Durango. The Durango is red, and when he first got it, it was a little bit plain. And you installed these flat black vintage rally stripes. The vehicle went from plain to sinister looking. The talent to install those correctly and get everything on the vehicle straight, and the visual when that thing was done, took a car from ordinary to extraordinary.
That's one of the things we like to do here is take your vehicle and make it absolutely unique for you. Flat black stripes and flat black accents are really the rage right now. In fact, blacking out a whole car is quite popular to do, but all kinds of accents to put on them, and it's fun to do.
And that's where experience comes in. You think of all the vehicles you've seen, all of the vehicles you've done. You've got the experience to tell people, hey, here's something I've tried, it worked great, it would look good on your vehicle.
Yeah, we have lots of experience because we see these cars every day, and we're passionate about watching all the car shows, too, to see what does look good. So we also have many, many pictures in our computers of things that we have done, and we can show customers what it will look like.
Cold weather projects. As you say in your commercial, got a vintage car that's starting to look vintage. The jobs that you can do on vintage auto interiors here at Sign Pro and Auto Trim Design is amazing. And again, I always say it, you're one of the few in the area that can do complete interiors, headliners.
That's right. It's getting to be that time of the year, too. You're just about ready to put your show car or your classic away. You notice that the headliner's starting to sag. That's the time to do it. In the wintertime, bring car seats, boat seats, things like that. We get a big pile of them over the wintertime. Leave them with us in the fall. Pick them up in the spring.
Many people, as you open the front door of their business, have a counter you approach. Or they have a man cave at home. You want to make that man cave or office stand out from anybody else and make a statement to your customer or your friends when they walk in the door. You can literally wrap an entire room with what they love.
Yeah, come in and see our showroom with the full-size U.S. Bank Stadium photo on it. A couple of other murals we have on our walls that we've done and have done it in our own houses just for fun. It also works really nice in a game room to do any kind of thing that you want to help with. We'll design it and make it for you.
You mentioned something about doing more and more large projects, huge signs for cities or businesses. The design and creation of these must be really fun and challenging, but then you also have the installation when they're done.
That's true. That's a little bit new to us. Our new designer, Tim, who's been here about a year, comes from a background of giant signs. So he's very good at designing them and knowing how to put them all together. And we're doing things more and more where we need a crane or some heavy equipment to get them into place.
I'm sure every listener can relate to this. You're driving down the highway, vehicles are streaming by, and all of a sudden here comes that one with a wrap or an odd color with graphics on it. You notice that vehicle instantly. If you want your business to stand out from all the ho-hum out there, you can make it happen.
Just for instance, I drove to the airport this morning, and on my way up, there was one vehicle that was wrapped in a beautiful blue design with the company logo on it and a tagline. I noticed it right away. Right behind him was a plain white van with some black letters on it. Looked like he didn't take a whole lot of pride in his job, but the guy with the wrap really looked like he wanted to do a good job in his business.
As we've said before, these wraps last a long time. So this is an investment in long-term marketing for your business.
That's right. If you cost average it per people that see it, wrapping your vehicle is very inexpensive as compared to other ways of advertising.
How can I contact SignPro of Owatonna and Auto Trim Design and find out more about some of these things we've talked about, or maybe they've got an idea?
You can give us a call at 507-444-6261. Come visit the showrooms here. We're located 1 mile west of Walmart here in Owatonna. Or look it up online at signpromn.com and autotrimmn.com.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, or even a driveway or parking lot road graded, call 455-352.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact: Aero Racing wheels can be seen on dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact: Aero Racing wheels have become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact: The Aero 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy NASCAR, Xfinity, and Gander Outdoors Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see aeroracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Rhino Ag offers the most complete rear blade line in the industry. Whether your tractor has 30 or 300 horsepower, Rhino offers a blade to accomplish any task. Don't settle for cheap imitations. Buy Rhino, building the best since 1934. Pull what the pros pull. A Rhino. Check out the full line at rhinoag.com. Rhino Ag is excited to announce their sponsorship of Jimmy Owens for the 2019 Lucas Oil Late Model Series. Follow Jimmy on Facebook at Jimmy Owens Racing Updates or online at JimmyOwens20.com.
VP Racing Fuels is a world leader in performance fuel technology. That includes VP Small Engine Fuel, the perfect fuel for your 2- and 4-cycle gas-powered tools, including chainsaws, generators, trimmers, blowers, and more. VP Small Engine Fuel is blended with no ethanol, ensuring easier starts, worry-free long-term storage with fewer repairs. And the 2-cycle blend is pre-mixed with oil, so there's no measuring, no mixing, no mess. Just pour it in and start it up. Learn more about VP Small Engine Fuel at vp-sef.com.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch forward center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers car care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers car Car Care Products distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookie Sauces and Seasonings. And Speed, people may not think cookie sauces and seasonings for breakfast.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, you name the meal, and it's cookies time all the time. In fact, the other morning I fixed me up a bunch of scrambled eggs, and what I like to do is I'll take some bacon and either lay it on my grill, on the grill, keep your temperature real low, sprinkle a little flavor enhancer on it, and cook it through till you can just crumble it, and then I crumble a bunch of that bacon up. I usually do about like 6 strips of bacon and crumble that up, and then I'll take like a half a dozen eggs and a quarter of a cup of milk and whip them together and scramble them up good, dump them in my skillet, and then sprinkle a little flavor enhancer on top of them to season them up just right and stir them through. And then I'll take a flour tortilla shell, and then I'll take that crumbled bacon, dump that in with the scrambled eggs, and dump that in that flour tortilla shell. And then I take cookies, mild or medium premium salsa, and dump that down on top of there and wrap that up. And I'll tell you what, you talk about thinking you went to heaven plain. That makes a great breakfast burrito.
And also this time of year, if you have those last bell peppers coming out of the garden.
Oh yeah. In fact, I froze a whole bunch of jalapenos this year. Well, you can throw about anything in there. If you got some onions you want to dice up and cook those up, you can't beat it plain. But that makes a great breakfast burrito with the scrambled eggs, the flavor enhancer, the crumbled up bacon. Now, if I'm going to throw bell peppers or onions or anything like that in there, I like to saute them a little bit first before I throw them in there.
These are some great ideas and some great recipes, and I know you have multiple cookbooks that can take a plain old chef and make them into a world-renowned chef.
Yep, just tuck them under your pillow and sleep on them, Clayton. That's all you do. And you can get all the recipes and the cookbooks. Actually, you can order the cookies aprons, too, right off our website, which is cookiesbbq.com. And if you'd like your apron autographed, why just make a note in there that you like it autographed. And if I can figure out how to spell my name that day, I'll be glad to autograph it for you.
Speed, as always, thank you for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Stay in touch, my friend.
Extreme powder coating.
Have you ever wondered what to do with that worn-out patio furniture or railing? How about your trailers, brush guards, even your rims? Have Extreme Powder Coating sandblast your items to perfection and apply the most durable metal finishing in the industry. Custom powder coating colors are available. Looks like paint, acts like armor.
Extreme Powder Coating.
Transform your garage into an extension of your home with a custom finished floor by Garage Force. No matter how you use your garage, Garage Force has you covered. American made. Backed by a lifetime warranty, our professionally installed industrial grade coatings will protect your garage from anything life throws at it and makes cleanup a snap. More importantly, it's the unbelievable feeling you get each time you use your dream garage. Visit us online at garageforce.com.
Call Todd at 651-387-9213. That's 651-387-9213.
Race fans, the biggest secret at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum isn't really a secret at all. Every race night in Knoxville, race fans can purchase tickets to sit on the museum's second floor in climate-controlled comfort. So whether it's hot outside or cold and windy, it's always just right on the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's second floor, right on top of the museum. All you have to do is call in advance or come into the museum on Saturday afternoon to purchase second floor tickets to watch the sprint car races from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in climate-controlled comfort. So the next time you're in Knoxville on race day and would like to watch the sprint car races from climate-controlled comfort, stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out our second floor seating. You'll be glad you did, and we'll see you in Knoxville.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last weekend, I missed the results for Arlington Raceway from September 21st in the IMCA Hobby Stock feature. Corey Probst over Colton Burke in a Sport Compacts, Levi Selle over Alan Lahr in the Sport Mod A-Main, Eric Larson over Matthew Loaf in the carts. It was Braxton Enter, Joey Reimers, and John Volancady all taking checkered flags. In the Modified A-Main, Dalton Maggers over Roger Nielsen. In the Outlaw Hobby Division, Brian Oppitz over Andrea McCain. In the Sprint Cars, Brett Allen over Zach Glazer. And in the Stock Cars, Rick Meese over Tim Pesek. Last Saturday night, September 28th at Arlington Raceway in the IMCA Hobby Stocks, Corey Probst over Dave Johnson in the Sport Compacts, Alex Dostal over Robert Esquita in the Sport Mods, Dan Paplow over Jeff Carter in the Carts, Braxton Enter, Carter Dragger, and John Volencady all taking checkered flags. In the Modified A-Main, it was Kelly Shryock over Trent Loverud. In the Outlaw Hobby Division, Carl Hewitt Jr. over Kyron Porter. In the Sprint Cars, Javen Osterman over Billy Johnson. And in a Stock Car Shootout, it was Jeff Larson over Dan McInthune. Last weekend, Chateau Speedway had their season-ending doubleheader Friday night, September 27th. In the Outlaw Mini-Mod A-Main, Tyler Johnson over Logan Brown. In the B-Modifieds, Jason Vandekamp over Shane Howell. In the Pure Stocks, Brady Kronberg over Jack Moss. In the Sport Compacts, Justin Skalitsky over Bailey Wolf. In the Street Stocks, Keith Torval over Andrew Hansen. In the USRA B-Mods, Jaden Larson over Colby Kath. And in the USRA Modified A-Main, Brad Waits over Keith Torval. Saturday night, September 28th, night two at Chateau Speedway. In the Mini-Mod A-Main, Nathan Kilwine over Justin Besh. In the Midwest Modifieds, Kylie Kath over Christopher Deno. In the Pure Stocks, Brady Kronberg over Jack Moss. In the Sport Compacts, Matt Wieman over Andy Knutson. In the Street Stocks, Zach Elward over Braden Brower. In the USRA B-Modifieds, Aaron Hoff over Noah Grinstead. And in the USRA Modified A-Main, Joel Alberts over Jason Cummins. Fairmont Raceway had their two-day finale show Friday the 27th and Saturday the 28th. On the 27th, in a 20-lap A-Mod feature, Brandon Beckendorf over Don Geertsen Jr. In the Sport Mod A-Main, Matthew Loaf over Jake McBurney. In the Hobby Stock A-Main, Parker Larson over Malik Sampson. In the Sport Compacts, Katie DeVries over Jay DeVries. And in the Stock Cars, Jeff Larson over Kurt Lund. Last Saturday night, night two at Fairmont Raceway, in a 20-lap A-Modified A-Main, Brandon Beckendorf over Oliver Kolofsky. In the Sport Mods, Jake McBurney over Matthew Loaf. In the Dirt Late Models, Marshall Feggers over Nick Beinhoff. In the Hobby Stock A-Main, Malik Sampson over Parker Larson. In the Sport Compacts, Nate Koopman over Upside Down Bubba Brown. And in the Stock Cars, Kurt Lund over Austin Jans. Madison Speedway also had their weekend two-day finale race last Friday and Saturday night. On Friday night, the 27th, in the A-Modified A-Main, Brady Gertis over Brent Dutenhofer. In the B-Modified A-Main, Brock Groenwald over Travis Engebretsen. In the Economy Late Models, Jordan Talaxin over Ryan Mickelson. In the Sport Compacts, Jacob Aris over Corey Merworth. In the Stock Cars, Jeremy Granger over Ron Hawkinson. In the Street Stocks, Corey Dykoff over Eric Riley. And in the Super Stocks, Shane Sobraski over Dexton Cook. Saturday night, the 28th, was the final race at Madison Speedway for the season. In the A-Modified A-Main, Shane Sobraski over Brent Dutenhofer. In the B-Modified A-Main, Eric Lamb over Tim Canton. In the Economy Late Model A-Main, Jordan Talaxin over Ryan Mickelson. In the Sport Compacts, Daniel Harsted over Ian Jaden. In the Stock Cars, Tanner Horn over Ron Hawkinson. In the Street Stocks, Eric Riley over Jack Caranda. And in the Super Stocks, Gary Hussman over Kip DeGroot. Last Friday night, September 27th, we were at Eldora Speedway in Rossburg, Ohio. 57 410 sprint cars on hand for the World of Outlaw show. Logan Schuhart over Aaron Reitzel. Last Saturday night, September 28th, we are back at Eldora Speedway for the Four Crown Nationals. In the USAC Midget A-Main, Tyler Courtney over Tanner Carrick. In the USAC 410 Wingless Sprint Car A-Main, it was Tyler Courtney over Chris Windham. In the 50-lap Silver Crown Sprint Car A-Main, Brady Bacon over Kevin Thomas Jr. And in the year-end finale feature for the 410 Wing All-Star Sprint Car 25-lap A-Main, Aaron Reitzel over Corey Eliason.
You're coming out of turn four, heading to the checker flag. You can feel your engine pulling for all it's worth. Is it worthy of winning a championship? Hi, this is Corey at Byers Engine Service in Rochester. We spent decades building racing engines for some of the biggest names in Minnesota racing history, including Jason Cummins' national championship winning engine in 2017. If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service in Rochester today at 507-282-5586. The rest of the car is up to you. We'll take care of the horsepower.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.